أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. إن الذين سبقت لهم من الحسنى أولئك عنها مبعدون لا يسمعون حسيسها وهم فيما اشتهت أنفسهم خالدون لا يحزنهم الفزع الأكبر وتتلقاهم الملائكة هذا يومكم الذي كنتم توعدون يوم نطوي السماء كطي السجل للكتب كما بدأنا أول خلق نعيد وعدا علينا إنا كنا فاعلين ولقد كتبنا في الزبور من بعد الذكر أن الأرض يرثها عبادي الصالحون إن في هذا لبلاغا لقوم عابدين وما رحمة للعالمين صدق الله العظيم.
الحمد لله وكفى وسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى. الحمد لله منشئ الخلق من عدم ثم الصلاة على المختار في القدم مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك على رسولك خير الخلق كلهم. يا رب صل وسلم دائما أبدا على بشير النذير محمدا مولاي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على طه سيد المرسلين بلغ سلامي روضة فيها النبي المحترم يا خير من دفنت بالقاء أعظمه فطاب من طيبهن القاع والأكم روح الفدا لقبر أنت ساكنه فيه الأفاف وفيه الجود والكرم هو الحبيب الذي ترجى شفاعته لكل هول من الأهوال مقتحم. يا رب بلغ بالمصطفى مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم. أما بعد، فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى: أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. والضحى والليل إذا سجى. وقال تعالى: ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. صدق الله المولانا العظيم. Before starting our talk proper, as per the command of our honorable Sheikh Arif Billah, Rumi of our time, Mujaddid of our time, Tabriz Istani, Hadrat Maulana Shah Hakim Muhammad Akhtar Sahib, Adamallahu Fuyudahum, Hadrat says that before every bayan, make muzakara, discuss one sunnat of Hadrat Nabiya Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And the sunnats of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. With regard to that, our Shaykh has said so many beautiful poems to show the importance, the necessities, the benefits, the virtues of following sunnats. One beautiful poem which Allah in His kindness has made famous in the whole world is Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hai jannat ke raaste. Allah Jalla Jalaluhu se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke hai jannat ke raaste. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. What does it mean? Naqsh-e Qadam Nabi ke, the footsteps of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the way of life, the sunnats of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Whoever will practice upon them, follow according to them, this is the road to Jannat. Just like from here, we take the board showing Polokwani, we will come out in Polokwani. We take the board showing Swani, Pretoria, we'll come out there. So if we follow sunnats, we'll see, we'll come out in Jannat. And the other is that if we will follow sunnats, we will get connected with Allah Ta'ala also. Allah se milate hai sunnat ke raaste. The difference between the two is that following sunnats and we will reach Jannat. But Jannat is still far. We'll have to live our whole life. We'll have to pass the life of the Qabr so long, the day of Qiyamah. And then inshaAllah, Allah will give us all Muslims Jannat. But it's a long wait still. And the other thing is, Jannat is the creation of Allah Ta'ala. Allah created Jannat. And there can be no comparison between the creation and the creator. Just like a person owns a soap factory where he's producing 10,000 cakes of soap per day. Over 30 days, 300,000 cakes of soap. He's got a candle factory also. He's got a filling station also. He's got a supermarket also. He's got a block of flats also. Now what is the comparison of one cake of soap to this owner who owns all these things? What does one cake of soap compare to him? Like that, Allah Tabaruk Ta'ala, who is creator of the seven heavens and the seven earths, Allah who has made our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah who has created everything, what is Jannat compared to Allah Ta'ala? Jannat in itself, Sir Ankopa, is very great. But compared to Allah Ta'ala, what is its value compared to Allah Ta'ala? Allah is Allah, wahdahu la sharik. Laysa kabithlihi shay. As beautiful as Jannat is, if Allah wished to, Allah could make it 200 times more beautiful. And Jannat, one Jannat there is, if Allah wanted to, He could make 20 Jannats. But Allah, there is no second Allah. And there is nothing and nobody like Allah Ta'ala. So by sunnats we'll get that Jannat also, and by sunnats we will get Allah, and we will get Allah cash now. We won't have to wait till our whole life passes, life of the Qabr, the day of Qiyamah. Anyone who follows Sunnah will get the love of Allah Ta'ala in his heart right now. So great are the Sunnahs of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we should try and follow every Sunnah. We should try and get the knowledge of the Sunnahs. Make an effort. There are beautiful kitabs, one very small, beautiful little booklet, pocket size, of our Shaykh, which is actually in Urdu originally, Pyare Nabi Ki Pyari Sunnate. And in English it's translated, and it's available, and it's free of charge available also. The beautiful sunnats of our beautiful Nabi. So we should try and acquire that, and try and follow one sunnat in our lives. So we should get the knowledge of the sunnahs. And at the then, we should make dua to Allah to grant us and bless us with the love of the sunnahs. Today, how many, all of us practically, and especially our youth, we have got love of the Western way of life. Love of some soccer player, love of some pop star, some singer, some all those things. We should have the love of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and the love of his sunnats. That is what we should have. Today we love our businesses, we love our gardens, our houses, our cars, everything. If there isn't love, there isn't love for the sunnat of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So we should make dua that Allah blesses us with that love. And then the tawfiq to make amal on the sunnats. And then also make dua that Allah blesses us and make us a means to spread the sunnats in the world. Either by talking, by practice, by writing books, by whatever way it is, but that we spread the sunnats of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in the world. The sunnats are such. Hadrat Maulana Shah Abrarul Haq Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, who was a very great alim and very great buzurg, he should say that sunnat ka tariqa ashal tariqa hai. Anything you want to do, and everyone today user friendly. Whatever we want to do, easy way how to do it. The easiest way of doing any and everything is doing it according to sunnat. Whatever you can think of, you want to do it in the easiest way, is the sunnat way. Sunnat ka tariqa, ajmal tariqa hai. It is the most beautiful way of doing a thing. Whatever a person wants to do, a person likes to do it beautifully, in a very nice way. So the sunnat tariqa is the most beautiful way. Sunnat ka tariqa akmal tariqa hai. It is the most perfect way of doing a thing. There are many of us, perhaps all, we are perfectionists. We like everything must be done properly, it must be perfect. If you want to do anything perfect, it is the way of the sunnat of Nabiya Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So may Allah Ta'ala bless us with the honorable ways of our Nabi Alayhi Salatu Wasalam. In the Hadith Sharif it comes that man ahya sunnati inda fasadi ummati, a person who will make alive one of my sunnats at the time when there is fitna and fasad in the ummat. Today we know how far we are away from faraiz. Iman is at stake today. At such a time, a person who will make one sunnat alive, and what does it mean to make a sunnat alive? Mulla Ali Qari Rahmatullah Ali, a very great scholar, he says, "Ay man amila biha." A person who makes amal on the sunnat, he has made that sunnat alive. So who does it? فَلَهُ بِهَا أَجْرُ مِئَةِ شَهِيدٍ أَوْ كَمَا قَالَ عَلَيْهِ صَلَاةُ وَالسَّلَامُ. That person will get the reward of 100 shaheeds. A person who will make amal on one sunnat in these times will get the reward of 100 shaheeds. And if we think that this shaheed, martyr, is a very strange and fascinating shaheed, he gets the sawab of not one shaheed, but 100 shaheeds. And he doesn't die also. The shaheed in the battlefield, he gets the sawab of one shaheed and he's dead after that. But this shaheed gets the reward of 100 shaheeds and he's still living also. And make amal on another sunnah and take the reward of another 100 shaheeds. Really, today, because our focus is not on akhirah, on the year after, If we get one, forget a property is a very big thing. One small little work of ours get done, we get so happy. But when we'll go in the qabr, we'll know the reward of one sunnat. What great rewards. And that time we will realize, جب دنیا کی حقیقت کھل گئی, when the reality of this dunya will open upon us, then immediately the value of this dunya will fall away. A person will realize that dunya is nothing whatsoever. If I was going after a shadow, and what is a shadow? How, no matter how much you try and catch a shadow, or somebody's shadow, you trample on it, that I got the shadow. The shadow is nothing. You can't fasten the shadow with chains. You can't put a big weight and now you got the shadow. Shadow is nothing. Wallah, without any exaggeration, this dunya with all its glitter and glamour is only a shadow. And we thinking we're running after something, we got something, we are really fooling ourselves. The real life is the life of Akhirah. And one sunnat, there we will see the reward. Then we will be so sorry that why didn't I practice on this so easy. And so many sunnats are just like, for example, a person wears topi, beard, kurta according to sunnah. He carries on with his normal life. He's going to do his business. He's going to go to his family. Everything he'll carry on. Just like in a computer, you've got a program working in the background. You're carrying on all your other work, but that program is carrying on there all the time. Updating something, installing something, whatever it might be. So you are doing your work and that work is carrying on in the background. So if we follow sunnats, our life will carry on. But in the background we are getting rewards. So great rewards and so great returns we are getting, which we're not really even working for. It's working in the background all the time. So we should try and bring every sunnat into our lives, inshallah. One great sunnat is to speak about our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to develop the love of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. A person's iman is not complete. Nabi Kareem sallallahu ta'ala alaihi wasallam told the sahaba, la tu'minu ahadukum, none of you, your iman is complete, hatta akuna ahabba ilayhi min walidihi wa waladihi wan nas ajma'in, until me, Hazrat Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam, I'm not more beloved to you than your parents, your children, and all of mankind. So much of love of Nabi Kareem we should have in us. So this we have to develop. Each one of us think, like we have got the, for example, we're going for Umrah or any journey. Ticket is booked, everything we have arranged, we know what time the flight is. I think we have to leave 8 o'clock, yeah, from Wombats to make it to the airport to catch the flight. Whatever it is, 1-2 hours before that, our little child, grandchild, fell down, got hurt. We can see it's not so serious, so we're not going to cancel our trip, it's not so serious. But we're going to give instructions that take the child to doctor, give him Panado, give him this, do that, whatever it is. Now we have to leave on time. It's not such a serious matter, we are going to leave. But already hardly half an hour, 15 minutes, we'll phone home. Today everyone got mobile, is the time of mobile. We'll phone home, how is the child? Okay, it's okay, no fever, nothing, etc. Okay, after another half an hour, 1 hour, again we'll phone. You took the child to doctor, was the x-ray necessary? Did they do an x-ray? What did the x-ray show? Naturally, from the airport you'll phone. Before the plane, they say now you must switch off your phones. Before that, you'll make one more call again. When you reach Jeddah or wherever you're going, again, why? You love your child. It's natural. So ask ourselves, do we think even of our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam once in a day? And our thinking must not only be thinking, do we couple it? Did we read today even one durood on our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Now the day of Jummah has started from Maghrib time, and a special ibadah, and a special gift for our Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Whoever we love, we like to give them gifts also. And what gifts we like, if we are sincere, not what we like to give, or something is extra in the house, we don't need it, so give it to them. No, we will give what they like. what they enjoy, we will give that gift. So the special gift for our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is Durood Sharif, Salawat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, especially on a Friday, every day. So ask ourselves, daily do we even read one Durood for our Nabi? Does the thought of our Nabi even come in our minds? In namaz when we read, As-salamu alayna wa ala ibadillahi s-salihin. When we read in our namaz, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad, do we even think of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? So it shows that that love is lacking. If we are not thinking, it shows. And remember, on the day of Qiyamah, it is this love that is going to help us. Love for our businesses, for our gardens, love for our motor cars. We're so particular of the small and finer things of our house also. Forget the lounge of my house. Forget my bedroom. Even my toilet must be perfect. There mustn't be even a slight smell in my toilet. I must put, even if I just put plastic flowers, though they mean nothing, but I have to put plastic flowers in my toilet also. And in my bathroom, even if I just have to put a mat which serves no purpose, besides that I slip on it and I can break my neck and back, but I have to put it there. We're so worried about all those things, but about Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, his sunnahs in our lives, do we ever think of even one? So we should be very, very thoughtful, give it serious thought. Don't take this just as a bayan, as a road show that Maulana came, so bayan going to take place, we're going to go and listen to the bayan and we'll go home again. No, we have come here, it's not that we didn't have anything to do. It wasn't we were short of food in our house. So we'll get very nice food here by Brother Yahya or by Mufti Maulana Ali by tomorrow morning for breakfast or something like that. No, well, alhamdulillah, we are not short of food or not short of any comfort. But this one worry for us ourselves also and for our brothers also, that how can we bring deen into our lives. And one great and important aspect of deen, very important, is the love, building the love of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So take it in that light, not just as a passing show, not just as a bayan that is being made, but really it is something that is important for us. So we can gauge now that we have to have the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And what I will try to focus on tonight is the love that Allah has got for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Allah has got so much of love for Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how come I haven't got one iota of that love also? How come I haven't got, and the proof like that, we all will say I love our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we are not lying, genuinely. But the proof of the pudding is in the eating. That what is the proof of that love? We're not even thinking of our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We haven't got sunnahs in our lives. We are not reading Durood Sharif. So just the words are not enough. Like we see in India, Pakistan, on the roadside, on the pavement, the pavement, they got many small little shops, hotels, they're selling tea there, for example. Small little shop, just four bamboo sticks and some sail on top. But the name Paradise Hotel. So that just that name doesn't make it Paradise Hotel. Or that name, that hotel Jannatul Firdaus. And it's just four sticks there. So if you call yourself, you're the biggest businessman of Africa, but you are selling just some biscuits on the road, and the biggest businessman, so just you're calling yourself a name is not enough. The reality, the proof of it is required. That is what is required. So that is what. So the same way, just saying I love my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, any and everyone can say it. The proof, لِكُلِّ قَوْلٍ حَقِيقَةً. Every word that you say has to have a reality behind it. Not just the empty word, there must be some proof behind it. So the proof of the love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that we have the fikr of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We have the zikr of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, reading Durood Sharif, etc. We have that ita'at al-Rasul. We follow in the ways that our Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And that is the most dearest to us compared to any way, Western way of life, Eastern way of life. No other thing appeals to us than the way of Nabiya Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So let us see how much Allah Ta'ala shows His love for His Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is worse than an ICU patient. All pipes here and pipes there and all that. So Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran Sharif, وَالضُّحَى وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. One translation and tafsir the ulama have made, but Allah is taking qasam of the day when the day is time of duha, charge time, when the sun is bright in that. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى. And the night when it has spread around all its darkness. And then Allah declares, مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Your Rabb, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has not left you. And he hasn't left your support from you. That is one. The other tafsir of it, the tafsir of love, وَالضُّحَى. O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, By the brightness and glory of your beautiful face, the shining, beaming face of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Allah is taking qasam of the shining, beaming, radiant, bright face of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Wal layli idha saja, and your locks of your zulfa when they spread. Hey, the beautiful face, what light, what nur from the face of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, contrasted with the black hair of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, those curly hair of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how beautiful. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was no smell of sweat on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The heat of Saudi Arabia, of Medina Sharif, that time no fans also, forget air cons, nothing. But wherever Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam passed, for days the smell of itar should come from there. Natural, which Allah had given to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So how beautiful was not Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Hassan ibn Thabit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, a sahabi, a poet in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, wa ahsanu minka lam tara qattu ayni. More beautiful than you, O my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, my eyes have never seen. وَأَجْبَلُ مِنْكَ لَمْ تَلِدِ النِّسَاءَ. No woman has ever given birth to a child more beautiful and handsome than Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. خُلِقَتَ مُبَرَّعًا مِنْ كُلِّ عَيْبٍ. Allah has created you free of any and every fault. If we look in the mirror, we feel that my nose is a bit flat, if it should be a little bit more higher, or it's a bit too high, or my lips are too thick, or they're too thin, or my ears are too big or too small, or my eyes are big, small, my complexion, if I was a bit light, something there. But Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, free of any and every fault. كَأَنَّكَ خُلِقَتَ كَمَا تَشَاءَ. Allah made you as though how you would like to have been. Allah made you like that. How beautiful was not our Nabi Kareem sallallahu. So picture, and Allahu Akbar, picture the scene also. Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu says that it was the 14th full moon. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is sitting outside in a maidan in the open. And one side is the 14th full moon at night. The cool breeze of Madinatul Munawwara is blowing. I'm sitting in the company of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and I'm seeing the beauty of the full moon. And the beauty of the 14th full moon, poets of the east and west, poets, ancient poets and modern poets, all use it as a symbol of beauty. It is such a great beauty. On that, to explain what this beauty is, I'll give one other incident. In the time of Harun al-Rashid, the king, very famous king of Baghdad, very good, pious, righteous, kind, very good king. One time one of his ministers, and Baghdad, the beauty of it. Today there is no town or no place that can compare with the beauty of Baghdad in the time of Harun al-Rashid. We haven't seen beauty. Spain, Andalus, what the beauty of, and the Hamraul Qasrul Hamra, the red fort. Till today, if you go and see in Spain, they've got it there, and the gardens there. Allah, by His kindness, have given us the opportunity to see many places in the world, visit many places, but no garden did we see as beautiful as that garden. And there, it's written there, that in the time when the Muslims were ruling there, the garden, this is not a millionth of what the garden was at that time. How beautiful it was. So Harun al-Rashid's minister, he's got his big mansion, he's a minister. How beautiful it was, his garden must have been. A summer's night of Baghdad, he's sitting with his wife in the garden and making love to her. Then something comes in his head and he tells his wife, If you are not more beautiful than this moon, so how beautiful must she have been also? She must have been so beautiful, and they making love with one another, the beautiful garden. If you are not as beautiful as this moon, talaq on you, three talaqs on you. He gives her three divorces. She was also an alima, she understood who can be as beautiful. The moon, that is a symbol of beauty, used by all poets. Where can I be so beautiful? So she goes into parda immediately, that talaq has fallen. And we should be very careful. Sometimes we think we give talaq in anger, we give talaq in love, we give talaq in jokes. In any way talaq takes place, even if you give it in jokes. So anyway, she goes in parda. Now she's in, she has to pass her iddat. She's in, she has been divorced. He realizes his folly, that what a big mistake I made. What did I go and speak? And from here there is a whole separate subject which we won't go to, but a man must be very careful of what he speaks with his tongue. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi says, jismuhu saghir wa jurmuhu kabir. The tongue is very small, a few grams in weight, and in size a few square centimeters, very small, but its sin is very, very big. Like for example, you give talaq, you destroy your whole life. Your wife, your children, the whole family, everything is destroyed. So the tongue is very, very important. We have to control. A person who learns to control his tongue has got great treasure within him. And a person who just can't control, just speaks. Many people say, I speak anything, afterwards I feel sorry. The tongue is very important that we learn to control it. Anyway, he gave his talaq. So the next day he went to Harun al-Rashid. I made this very big mistake. What happened last night? And why? He explained everything. Harun al-Rashid summoned the ulama of the city. They all came. He asked them, what is the masala? All said, talaq has taken place. Three talaqs he gave. And talaq, whether in hazal, in jokes, or whether in anger, or whether in anything, it falls. So your talaq has taken place. Imam Abu Hanifa rahmatullah alayhi was one person who had the habit, wouldn't just speak. Until he was specifically asked, or he was pressed to speak, then he was sitting quiet, he didn't speak. So Harun Rashid said, you're not saying anything, what do you say? He said, no talaq has fallen. He says, no talaq has fallen? All the ulama is saying, who can be more beautiful than the moon? He says, Allah says in the Quran Sharif, وَلَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. Allah says, insan, even it can be the ugliest woman of this world, she's insan. Allah says, we created her, and every man also, no matter how ugly the man can be, Allah says, I've created them to be the most beautiful. When Allah says they are more beautiful, so Allah's words that they are beautiful, more beautiful than the moon also. So Allah is giving testimony that the man is more beautiful. وَلَقَدْ خَلَقَنَا الْإِنسَانَ fi ahsani taqweem, in the most beautiful measured forms, how balanced Allah has made insan. That again is a whole subject of its own. We won't go into it, just but little bit. See how balanced Allah has made us. If the one eye was a big eye and the other eye was like a small pimple, how should we all look? If our nostrils, one was a big hole and the other was a small little, one ear was like the ear of an elephant, like a big fan, and the other ear a small pimple. One leg was 1 meter, and the other leg 1 foot. And we are hopping and walking. How should we have been? Fi ahsani taqween. And mankind is healthy when inwardly also his body. If your sugar level, you have to have sugar in your body. You got too much, you're a sick person, you're a diabetic. You got no sugar, you'll die, you'll faint. You have to have sugar. Blood pressure, if you got no pressure, you're a sick person. Your pressure going very high, oh, you can get heart attack, you can get a stroke. It has to be balanced also. Cholesterol you need in your body. Good fats you need in your body. If you got nothing of it, you're a sick person. It's too much, you also is. Allah has created man fi ahsani taqweem. What is the qudrat of Allah Ta'ala? So anyway, so how beautiful. So Hazrat Anas radiallahu ta'ala anhu is looking at the beauty of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, who is so beautiful. And he's looking at the moon that is so beautiful. And he's looking here and he's looking there and looking, who is more beautiful? Finally he makes the decision that, oh my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you are even more beautiful than the 14th full moon. And the 14th full moon in its serenity, how beautiful it is. How and when it sort of sails and it's moving in the sky. How beautiful it is moving. Today we haven't got time for this, unfortunately. Time for TV all the time. Time for internet. Time for cell phone all the time. But take out this. I remember one time we were traveling from Delhi, Nizamuddin. We were going to Madras by train. A 3 day and two night journey. Very long journey. And at night, it was the 14th full moon, and we always made sure that we get the side seats of the train. And at night when we were laying and the train is moving, and what speed India trains move at, and this moon there in the sun and traveling through all those places, what a beautiful scene. But alas, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even more beautiful. So Allah explains the scene, وَالضُحَى. Oh my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the brightness, radiance and glory of your face on the one side. And it is contrasted with your black zulfa, the locks of your zulfa and the curls in your zulfa. وَاللَّيْلِ إِذَا سَجَى مَا وَدَّعَكَ رَبُّكَ وَمَا قَلَى. Remember, your Rabb has never ever given you up. On one occasion, when the people asked Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam a question, and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam forgot to say insha'Allah, then wahi stopped coming down for a time. And Nabi Kareem sallallahu, his love with Allah ta'ala, contact with Allah, a person who knows what love is. Hey? And then you miss out your contact with your beloved. You can't make some contact for whatever reason. Your beloved is upset, or your mobile is not working. You become so restless. Why can't I make contact with my beloved? And Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how he loved Allah ta'ala, how Allah loved Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But just because he forgot to say insha'Allah, in spite of this great love, Allah stopped wahi, according to commentators of hadith, for 15 days, 20 days, 40 days, whatever it might be. And now even worse, the kuffar of Makkah and the munafiqeen and the enemies told that his Allah also has left him now. This hurt Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam very much. So then Allah says, ma wadda'aka rabbuka. Your Rabb, O Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, has never given you up. وَمَا قَلَى. And he hasn't pulled himself away from you. He is with you all the time. So what great love. And we should, lesson that we should take from here. When do we hardly say insha'Allah? Whatever we want to do, I will do it. As though we have got control over all our affairs. Just a little story, anecdote by which we can understand this. A person wanted to go and buy a horse. In those days, in our days, a car. So he was on his way. His friend asked him, where are you going? I'm going to buy a horse. He said, say inshallah. He said, what's the need of inshallah? There are plenty of horses, plenty cars. How many car dealers there are? I'll choose the car that I want. Money I got in my pocket enough. I'll pay for it. Why do I have to say inshallah? He said, okay, if that's your way of thinking, you think like that, carry on. He went, he chooses a horse. In our time, the car, everything, price, made the deal, agreed on the price. He put his hand in the pocket to take out the money. Money is missing. The person, crooks, they cut his pocket, they stole all his money. He was hardly aware that they stole his money. And the crooks of India are so shrewd and so sharp, you don't even know when how they steal your money. You haven't got the faintest idea. One person who was a crook himself, a very seasoned crook, he was very, very professional. But he had made Tawbah, he had corrected his life. He was traveling from Bombay to Delhi with a huge amount of money. And crooks are such, they read your face and your body actions quickly, your body language. And they made out that this person has got a big amount of money. So one crook came now to steal his money. But what he did, in the form of, I want to make your khidmat, I will serve you, whatever. So he said, no problem. He also made, he was an old crook. He made out there's a crook here and he knows that he's after my money. And he knows I've got money. So when they settled in the train, 24-hour journey, Bombay to Delhi, 26 hours. So he told him, go and buy some tea for us, 2 cups of tea. So he went, and then he took all his money, and he put it under his pillow. So when he came back, they drank the tea, whole night they passed. He slept away peacefully. Now that crook is looking for all his money by him. Whole night he's looking. In the morning when they reach Delhi, he says, look, I'm a crook. And I made out you got money and you got a big amount of money. But I don't know where you hid your money. I searched you top, right, left and everywhere I searched you. He said, look under your pillow. All the money was there. So he was such a seasoned crook, and how he made out. So on what did I say this? Inshallah. So your money is in your pocket. How they steal it and you don't even know. So you have to trust on Allah Ta'ala. To say inshallah, whatever you do, you are going somewhere, your ticket is booked, you got your visa, everything, your transport to the airport, everything is in order. That million and one things can go wrong. Just before you leave, you can become seriously ill. So say inshallah, if Allah wishes, your family can become seriously ill. Such somebody passed away in your town that you have to be there, you can't absent yourself. You got no way. So you can't say, on your way, accident can happen, Allah protect us all. There can be a roadblock, another somebody else's accident, and 2 hours the traffic in that road is closed. And there is no way that you can move. You come to the airport and they can find out something wrong, you're spelling in your name or something, and they refuse to book you in. Or that plane gets cancelled. Technical problem. Or Allahu Akbar, for one plane to take out, there are million and one things that they have to check. That plane, the whole checking of the plane has to take place. Not only the engine, what and what has to be checked out. Then the weather condition. If the weather condition is so bad, just now lately again in Heathrow, how many planes get cancelled? Often this happens. Weather condition as such, everything is cancelled. Weather condition is good, but there is unrest in that country. And now they say that not safe for the plane to land here. There are riots or whatever else. 101 things, 1001 things. So without Allah's will, nothing can happen. So we should be in the habit. We must Islamicize our language also. Everything, inshaAllah. I learned this from Musa bin Budania, marhum. Once we were talking, and it was the days of apartheid, and some government officials, we had worked with them. And he was talking to them, and everything misses inshallah, misses on subhanallah, everything, subhanallah, inshallah, mashallah, full in his language all the time. So we also should have, we must Islamicize the language. So that person now, he didn't buy the horse, his money is missing, so he was coming back again. So his friend met him again, where's the horse you are going to buy? So he said, inshallah, I was going. Inshallah, the horse was there in the market. Inshallah, the money was in my pocket. Inshallah, I was going to pay for it. So now you're inshallah. So we must learn to say inshallah. Everything and anything only happens by the will of us. And Allah loves that person that takes his name. That depends on you, asbab and means, booking your ticket, everything. That is part of our procedure. Don't say that I got so much iman, I don't have to book ticket, I can just go like that. Without passport, no. You have to see to your passport. Everything arrangement you have to make. But to trust that asbab and that means is haram. That is kufr. You must trust only in Allah Ta'ala. Don't trust in the means. Trust in Allah Ta'ala. But use the means. That is sunnah to use the means. And it is haram to trust the means. And for us that we trust on Allah. And this is our test in this world. That you use the means. You open your shop. You work hard in your shop. Getting goods, displaying and everything. Customers selling. But don't put your trust that my rozi is from my shop. Rozi is from Allah Ta'ala. Don't put your trust in anything else. If Allah is the Qudrat, He could give us all our rozi sitting at home every day. But then there was no test of our iman. Rozi, we can see it's coming from Allah, we believe it's from Allah. But Allah just hid it away. But still Allah is the giver of rozi from the back, but Allah is giving it through your shop. Allah is giving it through your work, what you are doing. Allah is giving it through your office, through your factory. Now Allah wants to see a mu'min, alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. Whether he can see behind the parda that Allah is the giver. That it's not my shop, it looks. And this is so easy to understand. The postman brings you a check of 50 million rand. Now you're not going to kiss the hands of the postman that, oh, you brought me. We know the 50 million rand check is sent by somebody else. It's not the postman, he just brought it. So the shop is only your postman. It's only has brought your rosy, but it has been sent by Allah Ta'ala. Allah is the giver of rosy. Allah is the giver of shifa. Allah is the giver of protection. Everything is in the hands of Allah. So when Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and here we learn another very great lesson also. Whoever is more closer and more beloved, the treatment with that person is also accordingly. Like for example, your own child uses bad language, you don't tolerate it. Your neighbor's child, you may tell them something, but you're not so concerned. Or children in the street, they are playing, and they're using bad language, you're not going to be so worried. But your own child, you'll even give him one slap. You'll warn him, don't use this bad language. Where you learn to use this foul language, bad language? So who is more closer? Then the treatment to that person is also accordingly. So Allah's Rasul just inshaAllah he forgot once. And see Allah Ta'ala stopped wahi for so long. And we can, and to understand also, Allahu Akbar, jiski narazgi hai, dozakh se barkat. If we can understand the love of Allah, to for Allah to be upset is worse than the fire of Jahannam. This is only that person can understand who knows what love is. A person that my beloved has given me, forsaken me, my beloved is upset with me, that person can't take it at all. Physical pain you can endure, it's alright. But that pain that my beloved is upset with me, that only that person can understand who knows what love is. And what a love relationship between Allah and His Rasul. Between Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Allah jalla jalla. So Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam could not, Allah satisfied him and told him, console him, my Nabi, I'll never leave you. I can't leave you. But this little bit I have to correct you here. That you forgot to say inshaAllah. And we forgetting so big things, not only in inshallah, without any exaggeration. Now we were having our meals. I was noticing little bit, I got this bad habit since some time now. I saw practically nobody read Bismillah also. Hey, when we eating, generally we forget. During meals, to say Alhamdulillah, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. Hardly anyone. Hey, we don't say that also. We don't make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. There is a good friend of ours in Dubai, Imam of Masjid Ghurair. So, he very hospitable he is. On his dastarkhan, never are there less than 10 ulama sitting. Always. And on a Jummah, 50, 60, 70 alims. And he cooks with his own hands for them. But he's very straightforward, very jovial also, jolly. He says, I see no one reads Bismillah. And during meals also, while eating, and it comes in the tafsir, that rizqan kareeman, rizqe kareem. Is that rosy that you eat and you don't forget the giver of the rosy. You don't forget Allah Ta'ala. But when we start eating, we forget everyone. I also notice when we are eating, the host, they are serving food while we are sitting down to eat. They're standing with the platter. Nobody looks up also to take the platter from his hand and put it down. Everyone is so. And in the first look, nazar, the person sitting this side of the dastarkhan, and the dastarkhan is so long, he sees everything what is on the dastarkhan. And he makes sure, I don't miss one thing today from the dastarkhan. Everything I must get my share in here. So much so. And your friend may be shy, his plate is empty, he doesn't speak. We don't get the tawfiq. What would you like? You want chicken? You want mutton? Ask for it. No, we just worried of our own. No, Alhamdulillah. No, Allahumma laka alhamdu wa laka shukr. So Qari Yaqub sahab, the Ahmed Barakatum says, I tell these people, and they are ulama, that if you don't like my food, read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But read something. You're not reading anything. If you don't want to read Alhamdulillah, read la hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. But nothing we read. So that should not be the case. So we are missing out big, and the sad part, worse than that, we regard ourselves as very good Muslims. That in the world, South African Muslims, oh, for just somebody tell us, oh, you people are very good Muslims, it goes to our head. But our Bismillah is not there. Our basics of our deen is not there. Drinking water, do we read Bismillah before we drink? Do we all know that dua, if we have to ask, Alhamdulillah alladhi saqani adban furatan, who of us reads the dua? Or even just at least Alhamdulillah, Allah gave you water to drink. What a great ni'mat. Once one family member, he has passed away, Allah give all our marhums Jannah. He was in the hospital, I went and visit him. When I came by the door of his ward, his son, young person, came running towards me. He said, "Maulana, today my father, first time he ate with his own hands." We eat with our own hands all the time. We ever made shukr. May Allah save us from that day that somebody has to feed us. We can't eat ourselves. And when we eat ourselves, we want little bit that achar masala. We want little bit the beans, little the potato, exactly as we want to. We take it, we put it in our mouth. As we have chewed it, we prepare the next. But if somebody else feeds us, and if there is somebody who loves you and feeds you well and good, they'll tolerate you. But if somebody, they say, "Hey, you're wasting time, and come on, hurry up." In the hospitals, how the nurses feed, how they treat the poor patients. Eh? So we don't make shukr. Then I went to him by his bed. He was lying with his legs stretched out. He lifted his right leg little bit. He said, "Maulana, today first time I can lift my leg. Today we all came walking to the masjid. We came by car to the masjid. And we are here. Our legs are working." And what one beautiful dua in the hadith. "Allahumma bihamdika ansaraft." Oh Allah, all praises are due to you that I'm moving around, walking around, doing everything. "Wa bi dhanbi atarafta." And I accept I'm the biggest sinner. Like I should be such that my legs should have been broken. I use my legs so much in wrong things. My brains are used in wrong things. I should have been made a mad person. My hands, legs should have been broken. My eyes should have been taken away. Because I look at so much haram. But oh Allah, in spite of all that, you're still giving me, I'm walking around, I'm living, I'm doing all my work. How much we must make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. So how much are we forgetting? And yet the sad part, we regard ourselves as super A-class Muslims. We are in the top league of the Muslims of the world. But our bismillah is not there. Our basic du'as are not there. Wearing clothes, who of us reads the du'as when wearing clothes? But yet we regard ourselves as good Muslims. So anyway, so when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alaihi wasallam on one occasion slipped up to say inshaAllah, see how Allah Ta'ala, that shows the love relationship. "Ma wadda'aka rabbuka wa ma qala walal akhiratu khayrun laka min al-ula." And remember, oh my Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam, don't worry for the pain and hurt of this dunya. Your akhirat is much more better. If we also can understand that today our dunya is our end all and be all. We are living for dunya. As long as I get my income is coming, I got a nice house, my health is there, everything is rosy, I'm happy. But if we feel little, oh, my business is going now. My rosy is going to be taken away. We like go mad. We're seeing the end of the world now. That what is going to happen now? Our health. Little we start feeling chest pains now. Oh, looks like I've got a heart problem. I can get heart attack. Doctor diagnoses it was angina. Next time it could be even more worse. And remember, heart attack is nothing serious. Mort attack is serious. Many people get 10 heart attacks, they're still carrying on. But one mort attack comes, finish with you. End of the story. Or just you, something they're fearing, cancer. Phone calls going everywhere. Make dua. The results must come out good. It mustn't be something, you don't even use the word cancer. You are so frightened and you don't want to use it also. So this is what is this? Akhirat is the real life. There is no cancer in akhirat. There is no heart problem in akhirat. There are no motor car accidents in akhirat. Your rosy will never be taken away. You'll never become old. You'll remain young all the time. You'll have your vitality at its height forever and ever in Jannah. That is the life that we have to prepare for. So Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In the next surah, Allah Ta'ala says, "Alam nashrah laka sadrak." Oh Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, did we not open your chest for you? In other words, all your matters. When a person has got a problem, he has to make a decision. And the more higher position you got, the bigger decisions you have to make. And when you can't make your decision, whatever it is, opening a new business, getting your son married, your daughter married, doing this, doing that, if you got sharh sadr, which is called, and your heart, and you know exactly what is the right thing to do, and Allah opens it to you, and you can see clearly, this is the path I must follow. This is what I must. There is a very great ni'mat whoever is blessed with what is called sharh sadr. That whatever you have to do, Allah makes it clear to you, this is the path I must follow. So Allah says, didn't we give you sharh sadr? Alam nashrah laka sadrak wa wada'na anka wizrak. And this great burden and great weight that was on you, we had taken. What great weight? the hidayat of the whole of mankind, Allah had placed it on the shoulders of Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Every other Nabi was only sent to his community, was only sent to his town, to his people. Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam has been sent to all jinn and to all mankind, and for people till the day of Qiyamah. So what a job was given to Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ya ayyuhar rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik. Oh my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, whatever, everything, the whole of deen which Allah has given you, it's your duty that you pass it on to the next generation. And in there also we should understand, as parents we have got a responsibility. As teachers and ustads in our madrasa, we have got a responsibility. As the seniors in the community, we have got a responsibility to pass deen on to the next generation. And passing deen on to the next generation, there are three basic levels. One is the knowledge of deen. Parents, it's their duty that they must see that my children have got the knowledge of deen. Just one example, Maulana Ismail Abdul Razzaq, few people might still remember, was in Lodium. Then he was in Ladysmith, he passed away in Ladysmith. He spent many years in Pretoria, Lodium, and he had very good connection with the people. One family that he was like the family Maulana, in and out, very good contact. So one day the father passed away, old man. So Maulana came to the house just after he passed away. Four grown up children. So Maulana asked them, did you read Kalima for your father when he passed away? They asked, what is Kalima? So Maulana then observed and said, the father gave them education in this world. He got them married. He gave them shops. He gave them cars. He gave them house. Very rich man. He did everything for his children. But he didn't teach them Kalima. And the time he needed Kalima to pass away, they didn't know what is Kalima. So what are they going to read? So if we don't give deen to our children, knowledge of deen to our children, when we will need it, they won't be able, because we didn't give it to them. So one great responsibility of parents, ustads, they are teaching deen in the madrasa, and of the seniors in the community to see there is a proper madrasa intizam where the children are learning, and everyone. And education of deen is not only for children, it is for the adults also. And in fact, to acquire deen knowledge is a farz more on the adults than on the children. The children have to get prepared, they are going into life. But those who are grown up are already mukallaf. They are responsible already, it is a duty. And just education is not enough. Who doesn't know five times namaz is for us? How many of us are making five times namaz? Who of us doesn't know to backbite about somebody, to lie is haram, but how many of us we get involved in it? So knowledge is not enough. Then it is the duty of the parents, the ustads, and the elders in the community to see that the next generation are practicing also on what they are, on the knowledge. That is also our responsibility, which we don't think about, and we don't even think of fulfilling that duty. Just the knowledge, that also we are deficient in, that passing on knowledge. But after the knowledge, to make an effort that they practice, that is also our duty. And then practice alone is also not enough. It's our duty of the parents, of the ustads, the teachers, and the seniors in the community, that we create the love of Islam and deen in the hearts of those people. If we are just forcing them to make namaz, the father, mother making sure the children must make namaz, you went for namaz, maybe we send the child to masjid, but he was playing, he came back, he said, I made namaz. He didn't. If we create the love, then they will do it. Or today we are there because they are listening to us, they are doing. Tomorrow we are not there, they won't do anything. So the love of Islam. And if we can, even more than that, to make them die hearts for Islam. But for I live for Islam and I'll die for Islam. And more than that, that they make an effort to pass this deen on to other people also. Everyone else. Then deen will remain alive. So anyway, the sharh is sadr which Allah had given. Alam nashrah laka sadrak. And this great responsibility of passing deen, and Allahu Akbar. There is a whole other subject, that how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made effort and passed deen onto the sahaba. Those people who were idol worshippers. Those people who were the worst, you could say. And what shining stars, Nabi Kareem sir, جو خود راہ پہ نہیں تھے اوروں کے ہادی بن گئے. Who were not on the right path themselves, they became the guides of other people. What was Nabi, how Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made work? وَوَضَعْنَ عَنْكَ وِزْرَكَ الَّذِي أَنْقَضَ ظَهَرَكَ. This weight of nabuwat we had put on you, it was breaking your back. Huzur sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was worried that this deen Allah has given me, and Allah has given me the responsibility to pass it on to the next generation. Have I fulfilled my duty? And in Hajjatul Wada, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu ta'ala anhum, Hal ballaghtu risala? Have I conveyed this duty Allah has given me? My time is now coming to an end. After the Hajjatul Wada, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was in this world for only 83 days or so. After that, so now my time has come to an end. Islam has been accomplished. Allah has blessed me with the final, the Hajj also now. There have I completed my duty. The Sahaba in one voice, they said, قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ الرِّسَالَةِ وَأَدَّيْتَ الْأَمَانَةِ وَنَصَحْتَ الْأُمَّةِ وَكَشَفْتَ الْغُمَّةِ فَجَزَاكَ اللَّهُ عَنَّا خَيْرًا. Today we go to Rawza-i Mubarak. We should learn this and read it at Rawza-i Mubarak, that we give evidence that, oh Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, you had accomplished your duty. الَّذِي أَنْقَذَ ظَهْرَكَ. And not only that, then Allah says, وَرَفَعْنَا لَكَ ذِكْرَكَ. And we had made your dhikr, your remembrance, oh Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we had made it very, very high. How high? When this ayat was revealed, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was sitting on the Mimbar Sharif of Masjid al-Nabawi. He asked the Sahaba Ikram radiallahu anhum, that what is the meaning of this ayat? They said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu alam. The respect they had. They didn't act like know-alls. Today we, any masala about some talaq, halal, haram, about sighting of the moon, everyone becomes a mufti. Cigarette in our mouth, we are reclining on our couches, and we giving fatwas here. I think it must be as if deen is a matter of thinking. Deen is based on two solid pillars, Quran and Hadith. Deen is not based on our thinking. Our Shaykh Damat Barakatum says, for people going on a train journey in Pakistan, and then they buy some roasted peanuts or popcorn or chewro, and they say, chalo hum zara deeni guftagu kare, we have a deeni discussion now. And while they are eating popcorn, smoking and all that, is deen popcorns or is deen smoking? Deen is what a serious matter. So the Sahaba, may Allah give us also tawfiq, that we don't pass out. If there is some electrical problem here, we not electricians, call the electrician, let him. But we want to give our opinion. It must be like this, it must be like that. Whatever else it is, medical thing, we become doctors. And that in every field we are so deficient. Somebody is sick, and more than the visitors who come to give him, more doctors are coming. And everyone will tell him, have this, have that, have that. And some people fall for it. And they start having everything. He'll become more sick, the poor person. Hey, have your one doctor who you have got trust and faith in, you listen to him. Not every person, everyone comes and they give advice. You must do this, you must do, take this medicine, take that, this is very good for you. They're not doctors, they don't know anything, and they're giving all their own advices. No, take the advice of the experts of that field. So in deeni matters, the ulama, the muftis, leave this matter to them. That's their department. That's not our department. Let us not become muftis. So anyway, the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, Allahu wa Rasuluhu alam. Then Allahu Akbar. What a rare and unique case that the tafsir of this ayat is not made in Jalalain or Baydawi or Ibn Kathir or any other kitab. Tafsir from Allah Ta'ala himself. Allah made the tafsir of this ayat. And what a tafsir. Allah's tafsir. إذا ذكرت ذكرت معي. That, oh my Nabi, I've made this arrangement. Whenever I will be remembered, you will be remembered with me also. So we see that the sun rises the first in the world in Fiji Islands. When the sun rises there, 1 hour before that, more or less, Fajr Azan takes place. In the Azan, where Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, there you have to say Ashhadu anna Muhammad al-Rasulullah. Otherwise your Azan is not completed. After that, in Perth, the east of Australia, When Fajr Azan starts here, Zohar Azans are starting in Fiji Islands. When Fajr Azan starts in India, Pakistan, in these countries, Asian countries, then their Asr Azan starts. When Fajr Azan starts in Africa, Middle East, Europe, then their Isha Azan starts. And when that day's Fajr Azan starts in America, the next day's Fajr Azan starts in Fiji. 24 hours in the world, thousands or perhaps millions of azans are carrying on. One city like Cairo, a city of 1,000 minarets. A city like Karachi, Bombay, Kuala Lumpur, Jakarta. How many masjids? How many azans? The whole world, every second, due to geographical difference of time, every second azan is carrying on. And all the time, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Allahu Akbar, Allahu Akbar, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah also. In the morning we wake up, the first thing we hear, Adhan. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, Ashhadu anna Muhammad. When we're sleeping, last Adhan we hear. We wake up in the morning, if you're a Muslim, La ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, when we wake up in the morning. When you sleep at night, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, you sleep with kalima also. When a child is born, Adhan in the right ear, Takbir in the left ear. Allah's zikr, Allah's Rasul's zikr. When a person passes away, in janazah namaz is not complete until Allahumma salli ala Muhammad, Allahumma barik ala Muhammad. You close the eyes, the eyelids of the dead person, Bismillah, wa ala millati Rasulillah. You put him in the qabr, Bismillah, wa ala millati. From morning to night, east to west, north to south, birth to death, Allah's zikr, Allah's Rasul's zikr. So how high Allah has made the zikr of his Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. How much Allah loves Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah declared himself in the Quran Sharif, in a hadith of Qudsi, in which Allah Ta'ala speaks, لَوْلَاكَ لَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْخَلْقِ. Had it not been for you, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I should have not created the creation. The whole creation is in the sadqa, and because of the love of Allah for His Rasul, that Allah created this whole earth. Mine and your existence here, our brains Allah gave us, our eyes, our hearts, it's all the sadqa of Nabi Kareem. But we can't say one thank you. And our thank you is to read Durood Sharif, to follow in the sunnats of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This beautiful masjid, this Jummah's night, we are all together. How nice we feel. Our food that we ate now, our clothes that we, our cars, our houses, our wives, our, we're so happy with our children, grandchildren, the new grandchild or your first child. You want to eat up the child, no problem. But remember, it is in the sadqa of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. At least read one durood on Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Everything of ours, this whole world, Allah made the stage of the world. And Allah put the sun and the moon, the heavens and the earth, everything Allah put. Allah sent the greatest of people, the Anbiya alayhi wa sallam. Allah took out Adam alayhi salam from Jannat and sent him in dunya. He came now a Jannati in dunya. And his offspring, his awlad, all of us, we were all the children of Adam alayhi salam, and we belong to Jannat. And inshaAllah we'll go back to our hometown again. The world is round, you go round, round, and you come back to where you started. So we came from Jannat, inshaAllah we'll go. But let us be careful. Allah gave us free passport of Jannat, free visa and ticket of Jannat, pre-seated seats we have got, everything, and VIP treatment, first class treatment. Don't lose this for that. In this world, where there are so many rahzan, crooks and robbers at every stage, shaitan and nafs and the enemies, they want to rob us of our iman. So look after our iman. Any person when he travels, especially abroad, what is worried about? His passport. Main thing, is my passport safe or not? And today with the Muassasa in Hajj occasion, we find the Hajjis, they are more worried of more than any other dua in Arafat, my passport must be safe. I think 75% of the time of duas is just going in the passport all the time. That, Ya Allah, let my passport not get lost. Because we are so worried of, Allah gave us passport of Jannat. Are we little worried that I must not lose it? When these painted dollies of the road, this filthy naked woman, when we are looking at them, gaping at them, we don't realize we are losing our passport. We are losing our, they are robbing and stealing us of our ticket of Jannat and our passport of Jannat. When we're doing illegal business transactions, buying backdoor goods, interest business, all other wrong business we are doing, we don't realize that these are things by which our passport is getting stolen. And we're not worried about it at all. about the passport and Allah gave it for him. How many people in our country, America, Europe, everywhere people want citizenship. I must get my papers right. Make dua. I get my passport. I get my citizenship. Everyone is worried about that. You go and make nikah to a woman, or just fake nikah also, just to get your papers right. Allah gave us free of charge the passport of Jannah and the ID and citizenship of Jannah. But how much do we appreciate it? So Allah Ta'ala, all this is in the sadqa of Nabi Kareem Sallam. How much durood sharif? How much mustn't we be thankful? How much mustn't we be appreciative? So may Allah give us tawfiq to see the love of Allah for His Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and build our love. And one simple way of creating this love is to read Durood Sharif. And try and read it. Sallu alayhi wa sallimu taslima. Read Durood on Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and salam. Sallimu taslima. What affection, what love and feeling. Don't do it to count finished numbers. That I have to read 100 times Durood Sharif, 1,000 times. But read it with love. Think that, oh my Nabi, your favors on us are so great. I'm so appreciative. And we didn't know how to say thank you. How to say Jazakallah. How to make dua for Nabi sallallahu. Allah taught us, read Durood Sharif. And try and bring all the sunnahs as much as we can. Nobody can be perfect. Allah's Nabi was Allah's Nabi. That how much we can, how many sunnahs, and at least have the love for every sunnah. We can't travel on camels today, but have the love for traveling on camels. And where you get sometimes a chance, at least once in your life, sit on a camel. With the niyat, this was the sunnah of my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Today you can't go to war with swords, but sometimes hold a sword in your hand, that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam made jihad with a sword. And so have the cherish that feeling, that lifestyle. We'll sleep on our wonderful beds, but sometimes sleep on the floor also. So have a simple life. We're always having our biryani and our roast. Sometimes with the niyat that my Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, for two months, only khajur, dates and water, nothing else. At least one time in our life, have some simple meal. At least in Ramzan when we open our roza, put one day at least aside our samosas and bhajiyas. Just make iftari at least on khajur and water. Follow the sunnah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. May Allah give us tawfiq. Bless us with the true love of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Let us live by it. Let us die by it. And let us become die hearts of it inshallah. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Ya Allah, whatever has been said, accept it, O Allah. O Allah, give us the tawfiq to practice upon it, O Allah. O Allah, your qudrat and power is so great, O Allah. And you have such control over us and over everything that even without it being said, and even without it being heard, you put it in our heart that we follow that correct path which you love. Let us live on that correct path. Let us die on that correct path. Raise us on the day of Qiyamah on that correct path, O Allah. Before Maud, grant us Tawbat and Nasuha, which is accepted by you, O Allah. O Allah, show mercy to your entire creation. O Allah, to the birds and the ants also, to the animals and the flowers and the fish also, shower your mercies upon your entire creation. O Allah, every jinn and human, bless us with that Iman and Islam which you love, O Allah. Let us live by it, let us die by it, O Allah. And let us be raised on the day of Qiyamah with it, and let us reach Jannatul Firdaus with it, O Allah. O Allah, whoever has got whatever problems, whether it is financial problems, whether it's health problems, whether it is fights and arguments, whether some work of somebody is not getting done, whatever difficulty and problems say any person is facing, remove them all, O Allah. Make all our tasks and our works easy. Be pleased with us. Accept us, O Allah. Forgive us our shortcomings, O Allah. We are totally faulty. O Allah, you forgive every sin of us, and you accept us, O Allah, in your mercy and your kindness. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله. Also very important, we are having an Islahi Jalsa on the 8th, 9th and 10th of February. So we invite everyone these to bring these things what we have been speaking into to us. Just 1 hour's talk is not going to be enough. It needs a good follow and a good workout. So inshallah, at the Darul Uloom in Azadwal on the 8th, 9th and 10th, talks around these subjects will take place. Please try and attend, bring other friends and try and spend the 3 days, Friday, Jummah, Saturday and Sunday, Zohar. 48 hours more or less, please try and spend time. Inshallah, it will prove to be very, very beneficial and fruitful for everyone. Jazakumullah.